Good morning, and it's good to be together on this Lord's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Let's begin by going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our Father, our great God in heaven, we thank you for all the blessings of this life. We thank you for being our loving and caring and gracious Father and God. We're thankful that you make it clear that you listen to us, that you hear our prayers, that you answer us and you give us what we need, not necessarily always what we want. Father, we thank you for being a God that's attentive to our prayers, attentive to us. We're thankful that you know us, that you love us, that you look out for us. Thank you for the blessings of this life, the material things in this life that you blessed us with, food and clothing and shelter. Father, we thank you for the other blessings that are available to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, freedom from sin, peace with you, the hope of spending eternity with you, guidance through your word to help us through this world, Father. We thank you for all those things. We pray that you'll be with us now as we look into your word and strive to understand your very nature and character as our Father and to find comfort and inspiration. Father, as fathers, we pray that you be with us as we study your word, help us to understand and help us to apply what we learn about you as a father in our own lives, in fathering and being a father in our families. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning by thanking God, first of all, for my father. And like all fathers, my father wasn't perfect, and he still isn't, but I'm still thankful. I'm still thankful I have him as my father. I can call him at any time, and I can get advice. And his example, as well as what he's taught me, has carried me a long way through life. And just a few of the simple things, just seeing a father and being around a father who gets up every day and goes to work, and he's willing to provide for his family and be there for us, to myself and my brother and my sister, to listen to us and just be with us every step of the way through life, even to this point in my life, is such a great blessing. It's as they say in that one commercial, it's priceless to have a father who's caring and loving and has provided for his family and has provided such a great example. So thank you, Dad. And I hope you listening this morning, I hope you've had a father in your life, perhaps imperfect as my father, or a father figure, or someone who stepped up to fill that role in your life. If not, I hope you find encouragement this morning that you have a heavenly father who loves you, who cares about you, who has advice and guidance for you through his word, and hopefully through other godly men who might step up and be a father, if you will, in that role. The Bible makes it clear from cover to cover that God is our Father. He's referred to over and over again as our Father in heaven. As a matter of fact, we're created in his image, the Bible tells us. And it reminds me, actually, of a time my father came to visit where I worked at the time for a state park on Angel Island. And we're walking down together to the boat. And one of my coworkers commented that, you know, Mike, you look just like your dad. And my dad said, oh, you mean the haircut? Because we both have the same haircut, if you will, the same bald head. And then they said, no, you have the same smile. And we both laughed because we always hear, you know, jokes about having the same haircut. And so anyway, that was encouraging. And I'm proud when someone says, hey, you look like your dad, or you're like your dad, you know, in his character and that kind of thing. Well, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So we're to reflect the very nature and character of our Father in heaven as we think about being fathers in this world. And actually just in being people in this world, aside from fatherhood. For man to be the kind of father that God intends for us to be, We have to first know God as our Father, and then we strive to model ourselves after Him, after His very nature and character. And in fact, we have a God and Father in heaven who's a loving God. We find throughout the Old Testament history, as well as the New Testament, as He's revealed in Jesus Christ, that He's a loving God, He's merciful, He's forgiving, He's patient. Over and over again, He shows His loving kindness. At the same time, He's a just God, and He's a holy God and a perfect God. He doesn't make mistakes. He never has to apologize for anything He's said or done throughout history. So He's a very unique God and Father that we have in heaven. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8, says, "But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay and You are the potter. And all of us are the work of Your hand." What a vivid picture that paints of He is the Father and us being the clay. The only problem I found at times is, unlike clay, I like to jump off the potter's wheel at times while He's still trying to work on me. And the fact is, God's willing to work on us, to mold us and shape us as fathers. And again, just as people, as long as we're willing to allow Him to mold us and shape us in His image and according to His will. You know, we find throughout history that not knowing God always has terrible consequences. We learn that from history itself. Perhaps we've learned that even in our own lives with our own history in this life. Looking back to the time perhaps where you didn't know God and didn't have an appropriate fear of God, if you will, or reverence for God and for His will. Again, in Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, we read, "Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand." What a tragic statement by the prophet Isaiah. It's sad and heartbreaking. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. Imagine as a parent raising your children, providing food and clothing and shelter and guidance and love, and then to have your children revolt against you as if you're an enemy. That's what God is saying happened, or the prophet saying happened to God when His people have revolted against Him after He had taken care of them. He says, "An ox knows its owner and a donkey its master's manger." Even an ox or a donkey knows its master's voice and its place or its home, the manger. But He goes on to say, Israel, God's people, do not know. They don't understand. They don't know their Creator. They don't no longer know their God. How tragic. Even an ox knows its owner, and yet there are so many who do not know their God. The created no longer know the Creator. And that disconnect causes so many problems in our society. We can see that. It's the root, actually, of most, if not all, societal problems and ills. Isaiah 1 and verse 4, we read, "Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly, they have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from Him." So as fathers, our first challenge this morning is to stay connected, if you will, to our God. Stay connected with God through God's Word. To humble ourselves and be willing to learn from God's Word, His principles. To come to learn and understand and appreciate His love for us as fathers and as people. And then to take what we learn from His Word and apply it to our own lives. And apply it to our role as fathers to our children. One of the roles God plays as our Father And we, a role we play and fulfill as fathers to our children is to be a provider. We learn as fathers the burden, if you will, the responsibility of being a provider, as well as the blessing of being a provider, right? God blesses us, and in turn, he expects us to be a blessing to others. God blesses us with jobs and talents and abilities as fathers that he wants us to use not only to benefit ourselves in a selfish way, but also to be a blessing to our family and even others beyond our immediate family. In Matthew chapter 5 and starting in verse 44, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Here we see the blessing and the potential for not only fathers, but for any human being to become like God, if you will, in his very nature and his character. Because God blesses those who even might curse his name or deny he exists by causing the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sending the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Now he calls us to love others in that way, in spite of how they treat us. That includes our children, by the way. Our children learn to love us because we first love them and provide for them. And then, Lord willing, they'll love us and appreciate what we do in return. The same is true with our Heavenly Father. He first loved us. Therefore, now we respond to that love. And we love him in return. And show him the proper fear and reverence and obedience that is due his name and his position as our Father in heaven. We're called to love as our Heavenly Father loves. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 46 there, Jesus said, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." Well, we've all heard the old saying, nobody's perfect. And it's true. None of us are perfect in the sense of never doing or saying anything wrong. But here Jesus says, "Therefore, you shall be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." And what he's referring to here is spiritual maturity. You'll be like your Father in heaven when you love those who don't even love you. So our children and our families need to see us not only loving them and providing for them, but also sharing that love beyond our immediate family and loving others who may even be our enemies. Our Father in heaven provides for our basic needs. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" So Jesus uses this visual aid, if you will, of the birds. And he challenges all of us still today, 2,000 years later, roughly, to look at the birds of the air and consider how our Heavenly Father, our loving Heavenly Father, provides for them and feeds them. And then his point is for us to understand and appreciate how valuable we are to God. Because Jesus says, "Are you not much more valuable than they, or worth much more than they are to God?" So even the birds are valuable to God, but we're much more valuable to God as people than anything else that God has created. Every time we see a bird fly by, we can think back to this scripture and this teaching from Jesus and remember how valuable we are to God. And today on this Father's Day, fathers, you're valuable to God. You're essential to God and his plan for the family. God is for you. God will strengthen you. God is there willing to help and give you guidance through his word in your endeavor to be a godly father. Matthew 6 and verse 28, we read, "And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil or spin. And yet doesn't your heavenly Father clothe them?" In verse 29, "Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these, and they're just the flowers of the field. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? We're not just here today and gone tomorrow. God has created us with a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. That's what makes us different and more valuable than all the rest of the creatures in God's creation. Oh, you have little faith," Jesus goes on to say. "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Now, of course, we have to think about and consider and plan for what we might prepare for dinner tonight, or what we're going to wear to work tomorrow, or even to Sunday worship service. But we're not to be caught up in those things, Jesus is saying. That's not what life is all about. Because he goes on to say, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." We're called to make that high calling our first and highest priority in this life. To seek first his kingdom, to seek first God's reign and rule in our own life, in my heart, in my mind, my thinking, in my very spirit, whether I'm at work or at home with my family or in my neighborhood. What a high calling that can only be achieved with God's help and with the help of other Christians. "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." God will take care of all these other things. "Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." After I left home and was away from home, my grandmother used to write me often, and at the end of each little encouraging word, she put, "Take one day at a time." And that was so encouraging, just that simple statement, to take one day at a time. And I really needed to hear that when I would receive those cards. And that's basically what Jesus is saying. Don't worry about tomorrow. Yes, plan for it, but don't be caught up in worrying about it. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I'm sure we found that to be true in our own lives. So fathers are blessed by our Heavenly Father when we provide for our families. And God will help us be the provider for our families. He wants us to be the provider for our families. We may not be able to provide everything they want. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee you will not be able to provide everything your wife and your children want. But God will help us to meet their needs. And the Bible makes it clear that God's not pleased when we don't step up as fathers and provide for our children. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." If you find yourself in those circumstances today, you don't have to stay in those circumstances and suffer these consequences. As I've mentioned before in this lesson, God is for you. God wants you to be the provider of your family, and others are there to help you. I know in the church there's people who will help you to get your will and your life in line with God's will and become the provider of your family God intends for you to be. God enjoys giving good gifts to his children. If you're already a father, you've experienced this already, even if you only have newborns. Just buying them those first set of clothes or that nice, warm, soft hat to put on to meet their needs and provide that clothing. We enjoy giving good gifts to our children. God is the same way. So Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you, for everyone who asks receives. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So just as we're excited and glad to give good gifts to our kids, for myself, I think back to Christmas and birthdays, in particular, giving bicycles to the kids. And then not just the excitement you see in their face and the appreciation when they receive the gift, but then to go out with them, in this case with bicycles, and just watch them ride their bicycle around. For us, you know, I think back to here in Vallejo where we live now, and riding their bicycles around the waterfront and just enjoying it. I mean, we're more excited and enjoying it as much, if not more, than they are. And that's the way I picture God. He's eager to give good gifts and to give us what we need. Because Jesus said, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Notice, though, it's a conditional promise to those who ask him. So I have to humble myself and ask my Father in heaven for what I need and to help me, in this case, as a father, provide for the needs of my children, not just their physical needs, but also their spiritual needs and being there for them. We read in James 1 and starting in verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. He's writing to Christians here. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow. So God knows how to not only give gifts, but to give those good and perfect gifts, the gifts that we need. Well, God also, being our loving Father, disciplines us as children. And sometimes we don't like to look at or accept that aspect of God or that side of God. But God is active in disciplining his children. And I'm not just talking about his Christian children. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 8 through 10. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So if God isn't disciplining me and active in my life and disciplining me, I'm an illegitimate child or not actually his son. He goes on to say, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us and we respected them. Shall we not much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? He goes on to say in verse 10, for they disciplined us, they being our earthly fathers, for a short time as seemed best to them. But he, God, disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. First of all, for me personally, when I read this scripture, I'm encouraged as a father, because he mentions here that they disciplined us, earthly fathers, for a short time as seemed best to them. And when I read that, I think to myself, I disciplined and did the best I could with my children as an earthly father. My father, my imperfect father, he did the best he could. For a short time, he disciplined me as seemed best to him and according to God's will. But then he goes on to say, God disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. So beyond our earthly fathers, we have our heavenly Father working in our lives to discipline us. Hopefully we do. If not, as I mentioned, we're illegitimate children and not really his sons or daughters or children, in other words. We find that God as a father, just as for us as fathers, has a purpose, a good purpose in his discipline. We read here, so that we may share in his holiness, that we might become holy, that God might continue to work in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, continuing to help us mature and become more like our Father in heaven. We need to recognize God's discipline as an expression of his love toward us. Just as I had to learn that my Father's discipline toward me was another expression of his love toward me. So children, if you're old enough to understand these words, recognize your father's discipline as an expression of love toward you. All the other actions of the father are of your father are expressions of love to provide the good gifts and the food and clothing and shelter and so many times above and beyond those basic needs. Well, a father's discipline is also an expression of love. And we're not just talking about getting out the wooden spoon, as they say, as my grandmother would do or my mom would do at times. And we're not talking about beating children here. And the statute of limitations has passed anyway, so moms are in the clear. I'm talking about a little swat with a wooden spoon or a little swat on the backside for correction. That's one form of discipline. But also the discipline where fathers and mothers are involved and just, hey, it's time to clean your room, right? And take care of your space. Or there's a time to eat dinner and then there's a time to focus on getting your homework done and taking care of your studies. There's basically work time at home and then we enjoy our play time together. The way we live life, in other words, is disciplining our children. We go to church on Sunday. We go to worship God on Sunday. And we, as much as we can, we make Sunday a day of rest that's focused on God and His blessings and on family. In Hebrews chapter 12 and starting in verse 11, we read that all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. In other words, it doesn't feel good at the time. Discipline has some kind of pain involved with it. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. So here again, we see the good purpose that God has in disciplining us and His love in disciplining us, that it might provide this fruit of righteousness that's mentioned. The fruit of righteousness, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All these are fruits of the Spirit or fruits of righteousness and blessings from God Himself. We have this promise that we'll be strengthened spiritually, to strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Another good purpose that God has in His discipline for us. As fathers, we're also commanded and expected to raise our children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 reads, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." The NIV translation says, "And fathers, do not exasperate your children, but rather bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." In other words, I'm not going to expect more from my children than they're able to perform or do. Don't exasperate them. Don't provoke them to anger. But rather, we're to strive to bring them up in that discipline and training. It goes on to say the instruction of the Lord. So when we're able to, and our children are able to understand, we're trying to help them understand that what we're trying to teach them ultimately comes from God's Word and from our Heavenly Father, and not just from us as their earthly father. That's the instruction of the Lord. As we bring our children to church and we get them into Bible class, or we spend time reading the Bible with them at home and Bible stories, helping them get to know God, get to know the instruction of the Lord. Well, children are also commanded and expected by God to obey and honor their parents. And there's a promise that goes along with children who obey this command or live up to this expectation from God. Ephesians 6, and starting in verse 1, we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth." This is God's great social program, if you will, right? Parents take care of children when we're young and helpless. And then as we get older as children, we look out for and take care of our parents. And Reminds me of one of my mother's favorite TV shows, The Waltons, and we used to enjoy watching it together. I know this generation is probably not familiar with it, but basically with the Walton family, they had the kids and the parents and the grandparents all living in one household under one roof. And it was such a blessing because the children were taking care of the parents who were the grandparents there in the house. And then throughout the TV series, you'd see the children learning from the grandparents and gleaning from their life's wisdom and experiences. And it made for such a strong, united family. And it's a clear picture of God's plan, really, for family to take care of family, for children to honor their father and mother. When you're younger and at home, as we refer to it, you mind your parents. You show them the proper respect and reverence in doing what they say. Make their lives easy. Make their parenting job easy. Especially make the father's job easy, as far as I'm concerned. I like here in Ephesians 6 and verse 1 where children are instructed to do this simply because it's right, first of all. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do in God's eyes. And on top of that, there's a promise and a blessing that goes with it, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. In Paul's letter to the Ephesian Christians, he reminds them, Ephesians 5 and verse 20, to always give thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So today on this Father's Day, we give thanks and we express our appreciation if we're still able to our earthly fathers. We can still express appreciation to their memory, even if they've passed on. And ultimately, we give thanks for all things to God the Father, as Paul mentions here in Ephesians 5. So why not today take that first step toward getting to know your Father in heaven, if you haven't already? Take a step today toward renewing your relationship with God. Perhaps reconciliation is in order, a theological term that simply means to repair your relationship with your Father in heaven. What a glorious thing that is when a person can repair their relationship with their Creator, be reconciled to their God. Perhaps that's your need today if you've turned your back on Him for some reason or have given up on God. Perhaps you need to just take that first step toward turning away from living your way, which is referred to as repentance, naming Christ as your Lord and as your King, putting your faith in His sacrifice that He made on the cross, putting your faith in the fact that after 3 days He was raised from that tomb and now sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, alive to this day. Name Him as your Lord, repent of your sins. And then the Bible says we can be baptized into Christ. We can be immersed with Him in the watery grave of baptism and then be raised to walk in newness of life, having all your sins forgiven and now walking in newness of life. May you enjoy this blessed Lord's Day, and for fathers, enjoy your Father's Day. At this time, we'll prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper together. We'll do that by reading Matthew chapter 26 and starting in verse 26, the very words of Jesus Himself. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body." Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in My Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So here we see Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. And He did that by example, as we just read. He gave the bread to the disciples, saying, "Take, and eat. This is my body. And we're about to partake of the unleavened bread that represents the body of Christ that was given on our behalf. And we do so in a way that's pleasing and acceptable to God by remembering his great sacrifice on the cross. Remembering and appreciating that Christ took upon himself the punishment, the humiliation, and all that's unimaginable that goes along with crucifixion on a cross that we really deserve because of our sin. So we keep these things in mind now as we partake of the unleavened bread that represents his body. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, our God in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, to provide not only forgiveness of sins, but freedom from sin, and also the hope of spending eternity with you. As we partake of this bread, which represents his body, we pray that we can do so in a way that's pleasing and acceptable to you by remembering and appreciating his great sacrifice and your great gift. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember Jesus, at this time he also said, "This is my blood," and he's referring to that fruit of the vine. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins." So this is the time we follow Jesus' instruction and his example, and we partake of the fruit of the vine, which represents that precious blood, that valuable blood that was shed on our behalf, to provide forgiveness of sins as believers and followers of Christ. At this time, we'll have a prayer together for the fruit of the vine. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer again, thanking you for the blood of Christ that was shed on our behalf, that we might experience a renewed and reconciled relationship with you through faith in his blood and in his sacrifice. We pray at this time we can partake in a way that's pleasing to you by remembering that blood that was shed and his sacrifice, which is the only way to find reconciliation with you, our great God and Father in heaven. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go out to meet this week before us, let's go to our Heavenly Father for a closing prayer for strength and for wisdom to live for him throughout this coming week. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer, and again we thank you that we can come to you in prayer at any time throughout the day, and we're especially thankful on this Lord's Day we can come to you in prayer. We pray, Father, that as we go out throughout the rest of this week, that according to the scriptures and our lesson today, Father, for those of us who are fathers, you would help us to be the fathers you would have us to be, that fathers that bring honor and glory to your name, fathers who are able to give good and godly and biblical advice and guidance to our children. We pray that children, Father, might obey their parents and show proper reverence and appreciation for their parents and respect to their parents, Father. We also pray that for all of us, we might see you as our perfect Heavenly Father, as our loving Father in heaven. And Father, that we might turn to you and look for help and strength in this world that seems so upside down at times. Pray that you'd be with us throughout this week. Give us strength and wisdom. Help us, Father, to not only learn from your word, but take what we learn and apply it to our lives in a very practical way. Pray that we can be there for each other, to encourage one another and help each other, to strengthen each other as you would have us to be, to do and to be. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.